Chapter 8, Part 3. It is in this way, one by one, the world is being recreated. Will this work ever become reality? Is history moving towards a goal? Will the consummation of the dream come to pass? Our answer comes in Revelation, the final book of the Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed. Behold, God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for the words are faithful and true. These words soothe our broken hearts, unless, of course, our enemies also benefit from God's grace. Sometimes we have a difficult time forgiving God for allowing our adversaries to prosper. Do we not? We watch a bitter resentment as they fare well. Jonah was unable to forgive God for his goodness to the people of Nineveh. The storyteller relates, God relented concerning the calamity in which he had been declared he would be bringing upon them, and he did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better than life. The Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Truth be known, God is terribly hard to forgive when bad things happen to us and when good things happen to our enemies. Job complained, the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. Job blamed God for the success of evildoers. Don't we do the same? When our enemies succeed, we die a little. Sometimes God has to be forgiven for his goodness. When Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was referring directly to the Christology psalm, one which looked forward in time. Moreover, by quoting the opening line of Psalm 22, Jesus was following a rabbinical custom of pointing to the block of marital by simply introducing it. He was in the effect saying, buy the book and read it. Here's the title. Rest assured, Jesus's question was indeed heartfelt. Those feelings were painful of his own. However fleeting the thought may have been, Jesus felt deserted by God. Yet he pointed to a psalm that all but ends in a hallelujah chorus. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. Jesus was at once both asking and answering the question, why have you forsaken me, God? The silent answer was, I haven't. This event tells us there is triumph on the other side of tragedy. Nothing is too big for our God. God, not evil, has the final say. Jesus is the victor, not victim. Jesus was teaching that it is perfectly all right to think our thoughts and feel our feelings, since the sinless one asked, why? Can questioning God be a sin? May we not also question, complain, and doubt? God desires honest communication. God yearns for authenticity in our prayers. Dishonesty is sinful. Honesty is sacred. Does God ever forsake us? No. Do we ever feel like God forsakes us? Yes. When we harbor negative thoughts, we might as well voice them to God since he knows them anyway. Ultimate faith is not believing that because we love God, bad things will never happen to us. Rather, ultimately, faith is believing that when life is unbearable, when the night is in the darkest, when evil is the strongest, when hope is the dimmest, God is present, not absent, working to bring about resurrected life. Paul wrote, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Who is it who is this one that brings new life out of the deepest darkness? Thanks be to God, the apostle exclaimed, who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was beaten, flogged, stoned, left for dead, and eventually beheaded for his faith in Christ, Paul confidently proclaimed, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to be clear about one fact. Jesus did not die, as some have been saying and asking, my God, why have you forsaken me? He died whispering, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Honest questions to begin, total trust in the end. When we finally find ourselves on cruel crosses, we may consciously or subconsciously blame God. Might we then not have a crisis of forgiveness with God? If so, we should be honest with God and honest with ourselves. We will be certainly want to keep the lines of communication with God open. Some things we may never understand. Still, questions are good. Doing the hard work of trying to uncover answers is laudable. Grace is also good. Investigation takes us only so far. Never will we attain total intellectual understanding of the deepest mysteries. When we arrive at the end of the road, the candle flickers, then goes out. The rest of the journey winds through the wilderness and winds through the wilderness and darkness. We walk by faith, not sight, or we go no further. Yet a voice calls us forward. Who knows? Perhaps there's something better than understanding. God, after all, trusting him. Color that grace, or faith. Better yet, consider it by grace through faith, that we find our way out of the darkness and into the light. Could it be that God's answer to the question, my God, why have you forsaken me, is simply, I haven't. Even so, do we dare put in words in God's mouth? The epitome reminds us that silence is God's first language. Everything else is poor translation. Ah, but faith have ears, eyes have not seen. Faith hears when no word is spoken. Silent invites us to deeper levels of listening. Has God ever spoken louder than he did at the cross? Listen, in the deafening silence at Calvary comes a whisper in the wind. Do we hear what I think we hear? God is often present most when he appears to be least. Perhaps there's something better than understanding of God after all, trusting him. Again, God is often present most where he appears to be least.